Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. Neshama Carlbach, leading superstar in Jewish entertainment, continues the legacy established by her father, Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach. His deep spirituality and love of all humanity filled every song he wrote and touched every person he encountered as he changed the face of Jewish music. Like her father, Neshama's talent and charisma captivate and endear her to people of all ages and backgrounds as she performs and teaches in cities worldwide. With her incredible band and in collaboration with the Glory to God Singers, she continues to both deeply move and entertain as she sings her father's incomparable melodies and inspiring original compositions. She will perform on November 8th at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, in a fundraising concert for the Rimon Resource Center for Jewish Spirituality. Neshama Carlbach, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a wonderful moment for me because, of course, we all knew your father's work. And it's a great way to sort of get to know you a little bit. Tell me, at what point did you decide you wanted to do this?
This meaning my career?
Yes.
I started to sing approximately 1 month after my father passed away.
Really?
And it was a little bit of a choice and a little bit of a no-choice situation. He had almost a year of shows booked. He died very suddenly. And I had had the privilege of singing with him for almost a full year. I had sang with him for 5 years on and off, but about 9 or 10 months pretty consecutively before he died, running around with him and being a part of it. And so when they asked me, I both wanted to do it for him and wanted to do it so the world would never forget, but also felt I had to. You know, it was a very interesting moment, and it happened exactly right 3 days after my father passed away is when I took on my first concert. So I don't know if I was necessarily thinking straight. I know my brain didn't work for a very long time as I was in this, like, the midst of this crazy sorrow. But I feel very blessed that that was my decision, that I had the courage to take it on. It's been the greatest thing of my life is this work.
So tell us a little bit about your own upbringing and education. What did you do to prepare for all of this?
I still feel very much unprepared between right. me and you. I grew up in Toronto and both lived there as a normal child and also sort of in a very fun and extraordinary way, ran around the globe with my father here and there. He would take us out of school randomly and have a trip to Switzerland. We had a home in Israel. We were pretty, in that sense, we were very, very blessed. From when I was 3 or 5 years old, I decided I wanted to be on stage. So my mother, bless her, put me in a million dance classes and acting classes. And by the time I was in high school, I belonged to a young theater company and was doing many plays every year. Was very, very immersed in my desire to be on the stage. And after high school, I fast-tracked so that I was 17 going into theater school, which was my great dream. And that was an amazing preparation for me. But then one day, it was the beginning, it was like the middle of my second year of college, which I was loving very, very much.
And where was that?
That was in Toronto. Uh-huh. I went to Ryerson Theater School, which is an amazing place. And I woke up one morning and I said, I want to be with my father. And I don't know where it came from, really. I believe it's we're all divinely influenced, but I just woke up and said, I don't want to go back to school this semester. I want to be with my father. And after working so hard to get to that school and really so being happy with where I was, it was out of character, but it was something that was so clear to me that I didn't question. And in that time, in those months that I traveled with my father, that was absolutely beyond compare the way that I prepared to do this career. I watched him. I listened to him. He was my greatest teacher in the world when it came to being present on stage in a moment, talking to me all the time about how to speak to people. And he always would tell me these things, oh, this is what you have to do. And I would say to him, but you're doing it. Why do I have to know? And he would say things like, you're ready. You're on the level. And I'd say, ready for what? And he never answered me. At the end of that time, we made a record together. And then 2 weeks after that, very, very suddenly, tragically for me, he left the world. And here we are. So I think every moment in life prepares us for the moment to come. If we're open to it, if we allow it to open our hearts, and if we can be present. And my father was, he was just such a gift to me and continues to be.
What will the people at the Mehewi hear on November 8th?
They will hear an extraordinary band. They're some of the most talented musicians in New York, so they'll really love the music. They'll hear Reverend Milton Van and a few of the singers from the Glory to God singers. They're unbelievable Baptist, African-American, glorious singers. They'll hear me. I hope they'll be impressed. We offer a show that's mostly my father's music, which is a combination of Hebrew and English. I translate the Hebrew. The Hebrew is all prayers. And really, when I translate it, people of, you know, from all backgrounds and faiths say, oh, I recognize that one. You know, there's certain prayers that, regardless of the language, it sort of speaks to the soul of humanity. So those are the songs that we sing, some covers, some originals. And I'm really, really proud of the show that we present, really excited and inspired to offer it to all of you. And hope to see how we can create a new wind in the room together, because it really, it's something that I can try to offer, but it's really a collective experience that I receive from the audience, I'm sure, more than I give out.
Are you writing yourself?
You know, I did for a very long time, and I have not in a little while, and I've just this week decided that I want to write a book.
Oh.
And I was writing songs before. I stopped, long story, but I got divorced recently, and everything changed a little bit inside of me. And I haven't, from this new place, decided to write music, although I hope I do. But I have this week decided that I do want to write a book, and I have a lot to say, and I've started to do it, and I'm feeling inspired about what I have to offer. So it's writing that's a little bit different than what I used to do, but I'm hoping to have the opportunity to express.
Has your divorce put you in a better place, do you think?
Absolutely. I am so grateful that I had the courage to leave. I think it's really intense for people. I don't know. I wish there was another way for us to become more sympathetic and loving to humanity than to go through so much pain. But it really is hard. I have two little sons. They're 8 and 4. And this was already 2.5 years ago, so they were very little. And I say all the time, it was like I threw a nuclear bomb into my life, leaving and picking up and moving to a new city and to a new place and running away and all the things that I went through. And I know people go through that every day. And it takes so much courage, And but I am so blessed that I had that courage and that I continue in this process to have the courage to stand up and declare that I want to be happy. I think that's big. It's a big gift that someone can give themselves.
Would you say that's reflected in the music, in the spirituality
Absolutely.
Of the music? Yes.
Absolutely. But I think there's always a longing quality to my work. I think I'm always longing for something more. I think we all are. I think the day that we stop longing, well, maybe it's all over, right? Mm. There's always just, we're praying, we're longing, we're waiting. There's always something more that we're all wanting in the world. And I hope that my music allows people to feel that and allows them to experience both the joy and the sorrow and the longing of the process, which is, you know, the journey that we're all on together, really.
What language are you comfortable in?
English. But I am fluent in Hebrew.
Uh-huh. And the music is if somebody's coming to the Mehewi to hear it, what language will they hear?
They'll hear speak in English. The songs that I sing in Hebrew, I translate before. And the prayers, again, that I'm singing, it's all written by my father, but the prayers are all in you know, they're in the universal language of the soul. You know, they're prayers that speak to the heart of everybody, as far as I can see. And the other language that you'll hear is the language of the nigun, you know, what my father would call the nigun. It's the wordless melody. It's the melody that's like la-la-la, na-na-na, you know,
yeah,
that kind of
sure.
thing, where you just sing it, where you sing a melody and it becomes part of your blood and part of your essence. And we do that in all the songs that I sing. We sing lyric, but then we also go into this wordless moment where we can just insert our own prayer into that space and sing together in one voice. And it's, you know, I love when people participate. It's okay if they don't, but it's a really beautiful thing to hear everybody sing together, because something really magical happens, I think, to the universe when human beings can powerfully unite in that way. And that's really the point of the work.
Have you ever been in the Berkshires before?
I have. It's gorgeous.
It really is.
It really is. You guys are very blessed.
It's absolutely true. Neshama Carlbach will perform at a fundraising concert for the Ramon Resource Center on November 8th at the Mahewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts at 8 p.m. For more information, visit RamonBerkshires.org. And that's one word, Ramon, R-I-M-O-N, Berkshires.org. Neshama, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Return to who you are.